Let's read together Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Now, in this section of Galatians chapter 6, we have further exhortations to believers concerning their relationships with fellow believers. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's begin our study of this portion of Galatians chapter 6 with some background notes. In the first five verses of Galatians chapter 6, we saw some of the responsibilities that we have as believers toward our fellow believers. We are to bear one another's heavy burdens. When we see a fellow believer struggling under the weight of sorrow or suffering or trial or heavy workload, we are to do what we can to help. And we are to help fellow believers who have sinned to come back to the Lord and to the fellowship of His people. We are to do what we can to restore an erring brother or sister, as we saw in verse 1 of this chapter. Look back there again at verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we do what we can to restore an erring brother or sister. Don't write them off. Illustration. I know of a Christian young man who is in the process of restoration right now. Because of sin in the moral area, this Christian man was destroying his young family. A very sad story. And there had to be spiritual discipline by the church leaders. But through the gentle spiritual care and counseling of fellow believers, this man is now being restored to his family and to the fellowship of believers. This is wonderful to see. This is good. And that's the way it can work if we follow the exhortations that we see here in the first section of this chapter. Now here in verses 6 through 10, we have a few more exhortations concerning our relationships with fellow believers. In verse 6 we read, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. You know, I love this verse, don't you? I mean, I'm teaching and you're being taught, right? So the Bible is commanding you to share all good things with me. Shall I give you my list right now? Seriously speaking, this is the way the body of Christ should function. We all have the various gifts and talents and abilities that the Lord has given us. Those who are taught should share in love to help meet the needs of the teachers who should be spending a lot of time in the Word. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the Word and doctrine. Now, double honor here doesn't mean double the amount of respect. No. It's respect and remuneration, as verse 18 makes clear. Verse 18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Now, obviously, this exhortation is abused when pastors and teachers begin to demand high salaries and benefits from their flocks. No, forced sharing is not New Testament sharing. Now, just a word of personal testimony here. I'd like to say that I've been greatly blessed because of the truth of this verse. You know, I left secular employment more than 30 years ago and have been involved in teaching God's word since that time. The Lord's people have been very good to me and to my family during this time. They truly have shared all good things with us. Now, I'm still waiting for some wealthy Christian to take me helicopter skiing, however. I'm only kidding here. But anyway, as a word of personal testimony on this verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Well, let's move now to our doctrinal points for this portion of Galatians chapter 6. Our two doctrinal points come from verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So doctrinal point number one is believers who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. Believers who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. Verse 7 is a very well-known verse, and that sets the foundation for verse 8. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So doctrinal point number one is, believers who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. Question. Are verses 7 and 8 here addressed to believers or unbelievers? Answer. To believers. To be sure, these verses certainly have a wider application to unbelievers, as other scriptures certainly indicate. But in the context here, they are addressed to believers. Verses 7 and 8 we're talking about. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In the context here, these verses are really addressed to believers. But as I say, they have a wider application, of course, to unbelievers, as other scriptures certainly indicate. For example, Job 4, verse 8 says, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Job 4:8. And Hosea 8:7 says, those who sow the wind will reap the whirlwind. Hosea 8:7. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the verses before us, certainly is a biblical principle that applies to unbelievers as well as believers. But in the context here of Galatians chapters 5 and 6, verses 7 and 8 here of chapter 6 are definitely addressed to believers. Look back, for example, at Galatians 5:16 to see this overall context of exhortation to believers. Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And verses 24 and 25 of chapter 5, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So now, Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, once again, in the context, to believers. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. All of these scriptures go together as exhortation to believers. And in the immediate context of the exhortation in verse 6 that we read, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches, in that context, to be a giving and sharing Christian. Sowing to the flesh, then, would mean not caring and not sharing with others, but thinking only of yourself and of your own comforts and own pleasures. Fellow believer, if this is your condition of heart right now, if this is your condition of heart and soul, then don't expect much reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And it won't be long before you will reap disappointment and ultimately corruption, because everything of the flesh will decay and die. Believers who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. Doctrinal point number two. Believers who sow to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 8 once again. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Once again, in the immediate context of verse 6, to sow to the Spirit means to give and to share for the furtherance of the Lord's work by meeting the needs of the Lord's servants. If you do this, you will be blessed of the Holy Spirit and reap eternal life. Question: is reaping eternal life, the idea of gaining eternal life when you die as a result of your good works of giving and sharing with the Lord's servants? No, a resounding no. That would be salvation by works. Reaping eternal life here is the idea of enjoying eternal life now. If you are a Christian, you already have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. You have it now. As John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3:36. But are you enjoying your eternal life? Or are you just living your life like the average non-Christian? If you give and share more of your material blessings to the support of the Lord's work and the Lord's servants, you will not only be rewarded in heaven, but you will enjoy your eternal life now. Verse 9 indicates that the enjoyment may not be instantaneous, but it will come if you hang in there and don't get weary. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Illustration. You know, I know several Christians who changed from being selfish, hoarding believers to giving and sharing believers. They all testify that it was not easy at first, but it's become the greatest blessing of their Christian lives. Believers who sow to the Spirit will reap eternal life. What about practical application from this portion of Galatians chapter 6? Don't forget to do good to unbelievers. Don't forget to do good to unbelievers. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We've seen in verses 6 through 10, here in Galatians chapter 6, that we as believers have three areas of responsibility for meeting material needs. Area number one is the Lord's servants, as we've just discussed. Area number two is the household of faith, that is, all fellow believers. Just as we help immediate family members who have needs, so we have an obligation to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in the Christian family. And then area number three is the unbelievers around us who have needs. Let us not forget to do good to unbelievers. Now, this is not the social gospel, but a Christian obligation. It's been said that we should do all the good that we can in all the ways we can to all the people we can for as long as we can. One more time. We should do all the good we can in all the ways we can to all the people we can for as long as we can. Now, obviously, we can't do everything. And there are priorities. And there are other biblical principles, such as not helping freeloaders who should be working. But taking all of that into account, we do have an obligation to unbelievers. Look around you. Don't forget to do good to unbelievers.